Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour brought to you by NV5 Invitational at the Glen Club, Memorial Day weekend.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mark Grody.
So I should tell you guys, we had our first, we don't call them fights anymore in practice. We call them skirmishes.
Clear now. We go into the bear pit.
There was a skirmish today.
The bottom line is this, is that you have to work together to practice. This is bears on bears, and we're not going to tolerate that.
Those bears are going to hurt them.
You think we'll ever find a new use for bears on bears?
Bears on bears.
That's exactly what
I tried to click that tab on Pornhub a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't recommend it.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.
Outside Clark.
I do not recommend
girl on girl, bears on bears.
Yeah.
Bears on bears.
Yeah. All sorts of things.
Is Clark
bears
okay with that?
On bears.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I would ask him.
Well, I'm glad you noticed that, the bears on bears. I thought that was interesting myself.
The Bears have descended on the news team, and it's not going well. Clearly, after today, I don't know. Come on! Oh, God! Getting fever. Damn, ridiculous!
Bears on bears. Bears on bears.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Fun day so far. Hope you've been with us. Thank you for being with us now. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. You can get your questions in for one last thing. We still have Bill Burr tickets to give away.
Oh, yeah. The famed character actor. And, oh, yeah, also a comedian.
Right. He's this little stand-up comic who's going to play the United Center on November 4th. We got a pair of tickets. If you hear during a commercial break Bill Burr say...
Oh, Jesus.
All you got to do is call 312-540-0670.
Fun fact, Bill Burr was at Emerson College in Boston when I was at Emerson College in Boston, but he was a commuter, and he did not do comedy there, I don't believe, and I never knew him. So maybe that's not really a fun fact.
No.
Does that qualify?
It's a fact.
So he was one of your classmates, like Pat Sajak was one of mine at Columbia?
But he's a lot older.
Yeah,
Pat
but Sajak. He still went there.
Yeah, but
so
this was at
so
the
no,
same
not
time.
Like that.
Not
he's like saying that they were there together.
Oh, so yeah, like my classmate was Pat Sajak, yours is Bill Burr.
Yeah. Well, you know. Carol Burnett also went to Emerson. That would be like, you know, Pat Sajak.
Dick Clark also went to Syracuse. That would be like Pat Sajak.
This has been productive.
Yeah, it has. So to answer your own question, no.
Okay. Not a fun fact.
Not a fun fact.
Glad I shared that.
What was fun was Tracy McGrady. I'm glowing. Tanny got to talk about Method Man with Tracy McGrady.
He got to play a Method Man clip that Tracy McGrady didn't know, but he recognized the voice of Method Man. That's how good it was.
Yeah, and I think he says, hey, I'm Method Man in the song.
Oh, that helps.
I think there was that part of it Mr. Meth he said, but like I was a little shook there for a second because, one, you're talking to T-Mac. So he was asking you about a Method Man song, and I didn't know if I remembered the name of the song because it was older Method Man, the late career Method Man, so I was nervous. So I was like, I want to make sure I get it right. So we got it right, that was not on my calendar today, I got to tell you.
We got to get him back on. There's a couple things. We didn't get a chance to ask him about playing with Jordan in Jordan's last All-Star game.
That's true.
It's okay. And the 2001, that All-Star game, when it ended with the Eastern Conference coming back from 21 down They outscored the West by 20 in the last 2 minutes of an All-Star game because Iverson just wasn't having it. Iverson and Marbury, Carter, McGrady, and Dikembe Mutombo was the starting five. They were all too small except for Mutombo, and Iverson said it's the size of your heart. Like, they played their asses off in the NBA All-Star game, which doesn't usually happen. McGrady was part of that.
Got to have him back. I would have him back on right now. He was absolutely...
Right?
Yeah, he was great.
5:30, Shane. Thanks, man. Good talk.
Yeah, it was...
Appreciate you.
What? But think about our lives, right?
No.
I know.
I'm out. No,
Shane,
I'm out.
Shane, no, think about our lives.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Real cushy. Yep.
Yeah, cushy.
Go ahead, talk about them.
All right. So we have lives and jobs.
We do.
That some people think are cool.
Oh.
And they would, you know what I mean? They aspire to them. We are D-list public figures, sort of thing.
Whoa,
right?
Whoa, whoa.
Well, speak for yourself.
All right, I'm a D-list public figure. Speaks is a C-list public figure.
Whoa,
Shane is a B-plus list public figure.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Interesting. Add a white sexy. But anyway.
I think you're a C.
Point is this.
You're a solid C.
Point is this.
A bouncy C.
Every single one of us knows every single thing that's ever been said about us on the internet by strangers. Right?
We read our
mentions.
I stopped reading the comments.
I see you arguing with people in your Twitter mentions or the text line. We all do it. Fine. Maybe
not everything.
Maybe you're evolved.
Fine. No, I'm evolved.
You guys are like quibbling with the point. Point is this. No. Tracy McGrady has lived such a cool life, he did not know that Method Man named him in a rap song.
Yeah, that's different. That's a different life.
That's a different life.
Absolutely different.
God, you guys really well actually lead me on every single off ramp on the way to that
actually,
point.
I don't know if we did that every single one.
Actually, here's the thing. We call this the Yes And Show, and I feel like I've said three things today that have just fallen flat with no anding whatsoever.
Really?
So every once in a while, we might have to well actually you.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah. No, what did we let you down on?
I don't know. I'm trying not to think about it anymore.
Yeah, we don't want to become bad jokes. We don't want to become the well actually show.
No.
I don't,
no.
Nobody likes
midday,
that show.
That's 9 to noon.
That's Burns.
Well, actually, idiot.
Makes sense.
Don't you know what wind expectancies are? Or whatever it is. I'm saying it wrong.
There's this bird outside my window.
It is just a different life, though, Danny. Jay-Z, the biggest hip-hop entertainer ever.
Yeah.
You have to pick, which Tracy McGrady line do I want to pick for this production piece? I can't use both. That's hack. So I got to pick my favorite one here.
It's just insane to me. So we know about, like, they met you at the airport. They brought Betty the Bull. Yeah. You know, they put you up the Jumbotron. You went to Wrigley. What else did they do? They sent me a video of Oprah.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's a great... Oprah tried to get you to do something, and you said no. Method Man mentioned you in a rap song, and you didn't know about it. Like, that is a crazy life lived, man. Right. All-Star game with Michael Jordan. We had him on for 25 minutes.
Didn't get to it. Didn't have time to get to
it. That's a great life. It's a great life. All right, now we can talk about your beloved baseball. That's the only point I wanted to make.
It's a good point. It's fine. Well, everything's all mixed in together here. On the Parkinson Spiegel show, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We're
all together.
Yeah, we are. Things are all happening together. Here's the thing. The coolest thing I saw on TV last night was Wade Miley catching a Cliff Bar in midair while on the microphone with Boog Sciambi and Jim Deshaies and the Marquee Crew.
Last night's starting and winning pitcher, Wade Miley.
Who's throwing stuff?
Good hands,
man.
I know, but
nice hands.
What did I had cotton mouth, and now I got some bubble gum and a Cliff Bar.
You got a Cliff Bar? Yeah. All right. Love it.
Well, I played with
I guess who that is. Take one guess. What guy is doing
That's
this?
That's Yan Gomes.
Yes, Yan Gomes.
So I think that is the most impressive thing I saw last night, maybe the most fun thing I saw last night. It was a no-look catch of the Cliff Bar. That is special hand-eye coordination. That's a top-notch athletic achievement that I want us to get done during the course of the show. So we're not going to be looking at each other, but I'm going to throw that nice catch on a bounce.
Thank you, lefty.
It was a bad throw by me.
It was a terrible throw.
Because I realized
I'm sitting right next to you.
I could look, you know, so you can look at me as you make the throw. It's my job to be looking ahead at the producers while
you make
that.
It's the no-look catch.
It's the no-look catch.
Not the no-look
not
throw.
Not the no-look pass. Ah! Okay. I got it. But it was off my
Matt
chest.
Matt Eberflus, Coach Flus, practiced his first pitch for weeks. Like, I don't think you practiced that throw to Dan.
No, I didn't.
No. I didn't. No. That's true. I didn't. But it was still pretty good. All right, let's try again. So you talk to the people.
All right, should we talk about sports? Yeah. How do you guys like this?
If you're watching on Twitch, that Nutri-Grain bar went off the head.
Yeah, you hit me that.
5 o'clock
hour. Connor, whatever you do, man. Connor, don't gift that.
Don't give me getting into the face with this bar.
Yeah, that's bad. Connor, don't do
Don't do that.
This is bad for
Don't go ahead.
You don't want
that.
To do that.
I got you. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here for you. Oh, and it's gone.
All right. Oh, no, that bit's over?
That's too bad.
Oh, no.
Why did we just force that in there right there?
I felt like it. It felt like the right thing to do.
Forget it. He's rolling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look.
Go ahead. I'm going to pick up the stupid candy.
The Cubs game was fun because the kids debuted and they were good. And then we talked, we talked to Jed Hoyer today. And we were...
Does anyone know what the plan is?
We were hoping for more from Jed Hoyer today.
Yeah, it might have been my fault. I'll point a thumb.
No, don't do that.
Oh, Danny's going to die the samurai's death here. Come on. Not your fault.
We spent so much time prepping the interview, a painful amount of time spent prepping the interview for a guy who's very, very good at avoiding stepping in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like I should have prepped it more. Honestly, I don't think I prepped it enough, but it was, yeah, he's not going to step in. I'm not trying to get him to step in it.
I think you prep more and better than anybody I've ever worked with.
I'm not trying to get him to step in it, but I do think it is interesting. Like, can you explain and articulate the plan? Like, can that be something that is conveyed? And I don't know that it's the type of thing that this from Jed will clear up from anyone, but he certainly tried.
I think, first of all, you said it, I certainly, last time was not easy, right. But it was, to your point, clean. And I think some of that speaks to the talent of the players we had. I think some of that speaks to the league being a little bit different at that time. You know,
yep.
Pitching certainly wasn't what pitching is now. I think, you know, breaking in 4 or 5, you know, 6 young hitters at the same time, a lot easier to do in 2015 than it is now. I think with just the quality of pitching and you never see a guy a third time in a game unless he's throwing a gem and or it's an ace, and it's a very different environment in that regard. So I think to myself, like, you know, what we did last time and the plan we executed last time was based on a lot of thought, based on baseball in 2013, 14, 15. Now, obviously, the landscape has changed. And so I think I've said all along, like, the goal here, you know, we want to compete. We want to put a good team on the field. We also very much, given where we felt our farm system was before, where our players were age-wise, we realized that, you know, we need to really focus on the future. We need to build up our farm system. We need to focus on how do we build that great team again. I think we had a great team. We had made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, and we had a 3-year run where we were in the NLCS 3 times. And, you know, that should be the goal, is to get back to competing for a World Series every year. And sometimes to do that, I think you do have to keep one eye towards the future. So, you know, last year, the deadline, we made the decision to make those trades. And when we did make those trades, I think that did signal, you know, of course, we have one eye on the future. We're trying to build that next great Cubs team. It doesn't mean every single offseason we're not trying to find players that can fit that window. We're not trying to find players that can help be part of that next great Cubs team. I think, you know, I think last time that probably wasn't the case the entire 12, 13, 14 period. I think now, you know, very much, I think, you know, like I said, you have to build it differently each time. And so, yeah, I'd love to, you know, we'd love to compete. I'm thrilled with how the team's played for the last 10 days, but, you know, we are going to make moves with an eye towards the future because we want to build something special.
This is the dangerous thing about what they're trying to do. He's trying to middle it, Danny, one eye towards the future, not two. In 12 and 13 and 14, 12 and 13 and 14, they weren't prioritizing winning on the major league level. They were straight up had two eyes on the future. It's easier. It's simpler. It's an easier sell. It's a cleaner thing to try and attempt, and it worked out. This time, he's going down the middle. They're trying to compete. They're trying to be competitive as they do the one eye on the future thing. So they trade for some kids, but also sign a couple veterans. I think they're going to keep doing that kind of thing until hopefully, in his mind, he sees the structure enough of a championship team where they can spend, and finish the job. It's a dangerous thing because it leaves you open to lots of interpretation, because you can reverse engineer it and say, oh, you're just trying to make it look okay while you're actually being cheap, right?
Well, yeah, that is the cynic's view of it. And the Contreras part is complicated, because if what I said very emphatically before opening day is true, which is, you don't sign Marcus Stroman if you don't plan for him to pitch in playoff games for you, so that's your window. They signed him to a 3-year contract. Well, then you're not closer to having Marcus Stroman pitch in a playoff game for you if you don't re-sign Wilson Contreras. Like, that doesn't make you better. But now with, like, some of the things that
doesn't make you better right now, well, that, or next
it,
year.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make you better in a short window. Right? I mean, Marcus Stroman's not pitching in a playoff game for the 2022 Cubs, right? Four-game winning streak, winners of 6 of 8. You still feel that way, right? This team is not making the playoffs, correct?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, and I don't think this team is making the playoffs.
Right, so are you trading Wilson Contreras for pieces that help you next year? Just based on what they traded Bryant and Baez and Rizzo for, those trades don't happen as much anymore of, like, trading Gleyber Torres for a rental. You know, like, the industry has smartened up in that way. And I think that's part of what Jed was not willing to say publicly, but that plus anti-tanking measures, plus talk of a draft lottery, plus different things for teams based on comp picks relative to revenue and all this stuff that's, like, made it a little tougher now. They're just not, it's not going to be as easy to articulate. And so hopefully what happens is they have enough good young players that they can buy their way into it. You know, that they can buy position players and develop pitching.
That would be
the inverse of what happened last time.
That's clear. That part is clearly the plan.
That's clearly the plan, right? Mm. And then it, to me, the thing is, and he talked about the urgency that was created by the last run, they simply are not going to have people caring enough to be relevant, basically. And, like, beyond Wrigley Field in the summer, and it's always good. There's a baseline of people who will always go. But, like, actually relevant. Mm. Talked about on the score, national conversation, competitiveness, or whatever, if they don't spend. So I believe they made a real run at Correa. They didn't get it. And I believe they will continue to do that, because I don't think that they can wait 5 years. I don't think it can take that long again until they're in the playoffs the next time. They've put too much money into the franchise for that to happen.
Here's my real question. Is it a feasible plan these days? Is it sensible in a baseball building sense to middle it? Because of the way the rules have changed, because of the disincentivized tanking that they tried to put in the collective bargaining agreement, because of the way that playing the game has changed and roster building has changed, is it feasible to middle it? You know, forget who it is and forget where it is. And that's a question for, like, big baseball thinkers who are looking around the whole landscape of the
like
league financially and strategically. Like, as you're building a team, is it sensible? Because I think clearly when they took over, and obviously they did it, and the Astros did it, and a whole bunch of other teams had done it just before or followed suit, then the White Sox did it, and we watched it, the full rebuild, you know?
Yeah.
Is that really sensible anymore?
I don't think so. I don't think the full teardown is. I mean, they're 14th in baseball in payroll right now, when they were supposed to win 72 games, according to Vegas. A down year for the Cubs in payroll is spending $148 million. Shane, what is the poll result of the question of will the Cubs be top 10 in payroll?
We've been hovering at 60-40, no, yes. Let me get an update for
So the question was, do you believe that the Cubs will be top 10 in payroll in the next 2 years? I immediately voted yes, because even in this year, where they are objectively not good, they are 14th.
65-35, no yes right now.
That's the cynicism that exists, at least among online Cubs fans. And I know the internet breeds cynicism. I understand that. Like, I don't think that everybody at Wrigley that's going out there still and singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game feels that way, right? We've talked about it before. But, like, it's a real thing that a percentage of this fan base is so jaded by the trades of the core, the seeming inevitability of trading the next piece of the core, the losing, and other rickets items, whatever those might be for you. Honestly, like, that's what it is.
It is that, and the Darvish trade. There's really no way to paint that without including, hey, look,
it was
they
money.
Cleared $59 million off the books.
Right.
There's no way that that's not in the first sentence of that trade description.
Agreed. But even in that down year, they're still 14th in baseball. So, like, I absolutely believe that more is coming. Now, whether or not they're going to win or not, I don't know. But Jed said the urgency created by the last run will impact moves that they make going forward, which makes me think that he knows he can't have too many more years where the expectations were as low as this one. So I'm still holding out hope that heading into opening day of next year, a reasonable expectation is that the Cubs make the playoffs. And you know I base that off the Vegas number. Like, you were like, sell me on the Cubs this year. I'm like, it's going to be tough for you to do because Vegas says they're a 71-win baseball team. Like, can they build a roster that is expected to win 85 games, according to the numbers, and then you just overachieve a little bit, you're a 90-win team in a weak division, and you can make the playoffs. Like, I feel like that is absolutely within the realm of possibility for them as soon as next season. We'll answer your questions to end the show, as always, with one last thing. Something that drove Shane crazy about the White Sox is happening again tonight, and they're inviting some criticism from an unlikely source. It's coming up. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on the Score.
I see, like, you know, first of all, when I see Vaughn, Buddy Knight, and I look up in the line, know who's was sitting in front of him, I don't think Vaughn, you see, there, not because I say so, it's just because they might have different way to see lineups or the scout report or how he feel about his hands. I don't give him that many at bat because because he's coming from injury. I can take all that, yes. But when you say, well, you know, I got to hit him because he's our first or second leadoff hitter, I got confused.
That's Ozzie Guillen. It's just must-see TV after these White Sox games, and of course, weekly also with Mully and Haw. Was that earlier this week that Shane called Tony La Russa an idiot and an old man?
Yeah, Monday.
It was Monday for batting Andrew Vaughn ninth. Mm-hmm. Well, did you see the lineup today?
Yeah, he's still an idiot.
Okay, got it. Yeah, cool. That happened again. So Andrew Vaughn is hitting ninth, who I thought that I was the biggest Andrew Vaughn fan on the show, but then Shane said he's the best hitter on the team.
He's the best pure hitter on the team.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said, Tony.
It is what he said. I don't think he's that yet.
No, I don't think he's that yet either. But he's a.
I think he can be though.
He's a much better hitter than I don't know, Leury Garcia or Adam Engel.
Lurie.
Yep. AJ Pollock went what 3-for-5 combined yesterday over the two games. Good sign.
Yeah, he's actually hitting.
Yeah.
And we knew this would come, but we just thought other guys would hit along with them.
Yeah.
But Tony, the last time when asked about hitting Andrew Vaughn ninth, said that he believes in the second leadoff hitter.
Secondary leadoff hitter. He's not the ninth best hitter on the team. He believes in the secondary leadoff hitter.
Here is how, because people are, Steve Stone is coming very hot with opinions these days. Ozzie Guillen. Here's Scott Pitsednik, which you don't hear often, be very passionate, we'll say, mm-hmm. on the subject of TLR hitting Andrew Vaughn ninth?
Yeah, this is a young guy that needs at-bats. And, he deserves to be in the big leagues. He's earned that. He's been one of the, Sox best hitters up, through 34 games. I do scratch my head seeing him hit second one day and then a couple of days later, he's down in the ninth hole. I don't know what to make of it. I've always liked consistency in a lineup. I saw a stat the other day about teams who have repeated the same lineup night after night. I thought it was the Brewers and Dodgers. They had 7 times they ran out the exact same lineup. The White Sox haven't done that yet this entire season. I believe in continuity. I believe in understanding, who's hitting in front of you, who's hitting behind you. You know what kind of hitter you are, but you also know your teammates. You can kind of just formulate a plan of attack when you have some consistency. But the White Sox believe that mixing and matching and putting guys in different spots is their best way of going about scoring runs. I kind of think the opposite of that. I think it helps to have some consistency, not only with your bullpen, but your starting lineup or your 9 hitters as well.
See, you know what's interesting to me about that and about how it relates to Tony is that Tony likes hitter mentalities, right? He thinks about hitter mentalities. He's old school in this way. He likes to think that he's thinking along with guys. Pitsednik is an older hitter saying, just tell me where I am and let me show up to freaking work and bouncing around. I know a lot of teams mix and match, of course.
That is an old school view by Scott Pitsednik. Teams change their lineup all the time. And Andrew Vaughn, for as big of a fan of him as I am, he has not earned you're the two-hitter every time you're in the lineup.
No,
like that level of consistency.
He's not saying that, but how often have we seen the top change? Look, maybe
he's not saying that?
He's not saying that Andrew Vaughn should be in the two-hole every time. No, he's not.
But he's saying he should know where he's hitting, right? He said he was surprised that he would go from the two-hole one day to the nine-hole the next day.
Right.
And the consistency of where you are in the lineup.
Right, but then he segues to, like, overall lineup construction.
Okay.
So this is part of why it speaks to me, and they're doing this tonight at the very least. That should be Anderson, Moncada, Abreu, Robert, Grandal. Go ahead. You want to do those top five? Period. Top five. Go ahead. And then, he's mixing and matching between 6, 7, 8, and 9 when it's a guy who's as bad as Leury. I mean, why bother to move Leury up just because he's a freaking slave to handedness and he's overthinking stuff, you know? And if you're Vaughn and this is a young hitter and this part does go back to Vaughn, so put him at six. Put him at six and leave him right there. Now that Moncada's back, you don't have to hit him second. But pick a spot and put him there. And I just think I think that Tony's just really weird and inconsistent with how he thinks about guys like old school players sometimes and then not like other times.
When you guys, so I was thinking about what Jed said about when he talked about the ball and how each year the ball is different, and that is frustrating on a number of levels. But one of them is because you then have to constantly be recalibrating your expectation as to like what is good, what is league average, what is bad, because it's in the context of the ball. And you think about the White Sox lineup underperforming. How much of it is the players being, you know, struggling, slumping, whatever, and how much of it is they don't have Eloy? The ball's been weird. They've had terrible weather. You know, because I offense is down. On base percentage is down. Pitching is really good. Like I do wonder how much of it is like so like for Abreu, we think it's a little bit of bad luck, right?
I think there's been a lot of bad luck for him.
For the team, they will say a lot of it's cold. Like how much of the struggles of the offense really are because of Tony La Russa's inconsistent offensive lineups? It strikes me as a very, very small piece of the pie chart of blame as to what's happened to the White Sox this year.
Hey man, it's
I'm not saying it's nothing, but it strikes me as a small part of it.
It's hard to quantify other than anecdotal stuff from people who have played or the people who are playing if they would tell you. And for the most part, they're not going to tell you. So it is much easier to say and perhaps numerically prove that it's not about that because of all the other factors that are there and because we're talking about a human experience thing. You know, if we were to list out the reasons, it's definitely up there for me, but there's a lot of them. I think the absence of Moncada and the fact that Grandal didn't get it going are massive to me. As you look at their walk numbers, how low they are, and you look at their overall approach and just how aggressive they've been, how few pitches per plate appearance they're doing. I don't know how much of that is Frank Menachino overall thought process. I don't know how much of that is them pressing and feeling the anxiety that comes along with scuffling and then that leading to shorter at bats. But a big part of it is no Moncada at all.
They are in desperate need of a 6-game winning streak. You know, like put some distance between themselves and 500 and maybe exhale a little bit. And just, you're good, get your swag back, get some of this noise out of here, stop responding on Twitter and caring about post-game shows, mm-hmm. and just put a little bit of distance between yourself and 500, and I do think things will be fine. But tonight, by the way, I just saw this come across my timeline.
Yes?
We have someone who's claiming that they will be behind home plate at the Cubs game in the mob challenge to hold up a sign that says MOB. For $200 from me, an item from Shane's office, likely a Bears bobblehead, a snack item of consequence. But if they are from Spiegel, they are right behind home plate and the sign gets on consistently,
yes,
then that is Tributosaurus tickets.
Are you talking about the guy in our Twitter mentions?
Yeah.
That's tomorrow. He's going to be there tomorrow.
Oh, so. Thursday night.
Yeah.
I can't read. My bad. Tonight's okay. Wednesday. Okay.
Well, we'll be watching.
So that means if you wanted, but
somebody wants to get a jump on that tonight.
Oh, and behind home plate, man, if you're not in the first three rows, you're not on camera. So you got to really, really mean it that you're right down there. So, but just as a reminder to the mob challenge, get a sign that just says MOB on TV, Cubs or Sox game, get it on once. You get $200 from me, something from Shane's office, and a snack from Speaks. You get it on consistently. He bumps up his contribution from a Reese's bar to VIP tickets to see Tributosaurus.
It's not a single Reese's bar, okay?
A snack of consequence.
A
bag of beef jerky.
At least a six-pack of Reese's. I may even consult with people to find out what their favorite flavor profile is that I will choose from my decades of snacking experience.
That's fascinating stuff. We'll answer your questions for one last thing. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
Just one more thing, please.
I thought you had a clock to punch.
I do. I'm leaving right now.
It's time for One Last Thing.
Were you ever able to dunk?
I just want to ask you one question.
I'm insulted by the question, yes. I don't know.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the show.
One question.
I completely understand the questions that are going to come.
I just want to ask you one question.
I know that these questions could go on and on each and every day.
I just want to ask you one question.
Is that a real question? What you want me to say to that?
I just want
to
ask you one question.
Why y'all be so negative? How you think about that? I don't know. Good last question.
I just want
to
ask you.
Well, that's a great question.
One question.
One Last Thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
I assume we have a winner for those Bill Burr tickets?
We do have a winner. Tim Wisniewski or Wisniewski or Wisnowski. One of those Polish names.
Guy named Tim won the Bill Burr tickets. That's exciting. November 4th, he's coming to the United Center. Hope to be in attendance. Though, man, comedians at big venues. I've only done it once, but Bill Burr, I'm sure, could carry an arena. Shane, what questions we got today?
From the 224, how did all you guys meet your wives? I'll set this one up.
Yeah.
I met Danny's wife at a dinner, right? We went out to dinner.
Is that when you met her for the first time?
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. She slid into my Facebook messages and asked if I wanted to watch the Clemson-Syracuse game.
Yikes.
And we met at a bar and watched the game.
It's delightful.
It was amazing.
I was singing with Tributosaurus doing Van Morrison. She didn't want to be there, but was there as the designated driver. I looked at her from the stage, thought she was gorgeous, had a song off, went out, put my arm in hers when I had a song off, and she didn't flinch. And we started talking.
Wow.
Big pimping.
Yeah. I was doing my college radio show at Loyola, and my wife was a listener. Like, we knew a lot of the same people being in the hip hop community, so she knew me from doing the hip hop show. So she reached out and we met up, and
so boom. She reached out to you as well.
Yes, yeah.
How about
you
that?
Know
about that?
You know,
21st century. I like it.
Moving on,
Shane. How did you meet Willie?
Oh,
I took Willie from an Amish puppy mill farm. In Nashville.
Really?
Theft.
From Did Jonathan, you really?
Yeah.
Dog theft?
Like, yeah.
It's funny. She look looks she yeah. looks kind of Amish. Now that you say that.
And she hates electricity. Which is so weird.
Also,
she churns her own butter.
Beat me to it. Damn it.
So
makes,
weird.
Makes a great whisk broom.
For some reason, she's capitalizing and make all this money on electric fireplaces. So which one is it? The Amish?
I don't know. I loved her in Witness with Harrison Ford and Kelly McGillis. I thought she was great.
Really bad haircut. They just put a bowl up there. All her clothes are the same. You find them at the metro station often. They're just hanging out at the McDonald's.
Wow. The Amish are going to be as angry at us as the Hungarians
How?
Are.
They can't hear it.
That's a good point.
Any Amish on Twitch? From Jonathan Quinn's ghost. Do you think you can offend the Amish?
I mean, you're trying.
Oh, man.
Any Amish on Twitch. There's a pull quote.
And here's the thing. One more thing on the Amish.
No.
There's got to be some kind of deodorant that's made without electricity, right? Find that stuff. From Jonathan Quinn's ghost on Twitch, is there any kind of drink that's not acceptable for men to drink in public?
No.
Of course not.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
Do whatever you want. Do what makes you happy.
Do what you want. Enjoy yourself.
I mean, Tanny drinks vodka, so right. You can drink anything.
That's true.
Let me rephrase that. The one thing not urine. I don't think you should drink urine in public.
Yeah, I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vodka's just fine for Vodka Carla, so I'm going to keep drinking vodka.
Okay. Our number one hater, Vodka Carla from The Morning Mess. We'll get to them tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, TSL. It's a tease for you, for all you listeners out there.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Hey, we're wishing Wani a happy birthday tomorrow in studio in the 2 o'clock hour.
We'll be there.
That's something to stay tuned for.
217 from the text line. What's your favorite beach in the Chicagoland area? The 217 visiting from Central Illinois. Welcome.
You know, there's a lot of really cool beaches. And I don't even want to reference the ones that I won't pick because maybe you guys will pick them. But go to Oak Street Beach. That sensation of being downtown right next to the Hancock Building and other skyscrapers and then turning left 90 degrees and seeing the endless horizon that is the lake is pretty special.
It's awesome. I mean, I think that that's the answer if you're doing like the touristy Chicago beach thing, right? Like that's the answer because it's a unique. In the world, it's tough to say. I mean, like Sydney, Australia, like there are not. But no, but that's an ocean too. Like, where can you get skyline and fresh body of water?
That's what I'm saying.
It is a very unique to Chicago Oak Street Beach experience. But if you want to just come, like,
and hang out at a beach,
I mean, like some of the suburban beaches, like the
Gilson Park up by you,
yeah, Gilson and Wilmette, the Glencoe Beach. I mean, those are gorgeous, gorgeous, very small beaches, but like. Have restaurants and like, you know, swing sets and stuff for kids. It's a very family friendly beach environment. Like the city beaches are a party.
It's so much fun to play volleyball on the Oak Street Beach where you have the like the Chicago Sport and Social Volleyball Leagues. That's a ton of fun. But I'm an anti sand guy. I like the cement portion of the beaches where you can bring like a yoga mat out there and a towel and you just bring coolers of beer and you could jump off the cement into the water. So we hang out at the one right off of like Montrose Harbor.
Oh, there you go.
All cement, no sand getting in the cracks of your toes or your ass.
I just feel like that's not a beach.
No, it's not technically a beach. It's a Chicago beach.
I feel one of our favorite places to go is over by the planetarium there, between the planetarium and the shed.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
With that cement. Yep. That's a cement beach situation.
Are you talking about by the Dog Beach, like by Belmont?
Just south of, well, north of the Belmont Dog Beach, south of the Montrose Dog Beach.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Like where it juts out there.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like right at Irving Park.
Okay.
From Swole Keem on Twitch, Shane, why haven't you been on the I'm Fat podcast? I haven't been invited. I think that question is somewhat insulting. I am overweight technically, but I don't think I qualify for the I'm Fat podcast on weight, but I would love to talk food with them.
I don't think it's a mindset. It is a mindset, and you could offer opinions on what meats are the fattiest or the best for a fat.
Perfect. MPAT 75, when raining, do you go umbrella, hood up, or just deal with it?
Just deal with it. I mean, I if I have a hood on, I put the hood up, but I haven't used an umbrella in years.
I have a very expensive raincoat that I treated myself to once years ago, but I've noticed a fatal flaw recently in that it does not protect me from the rain. The water gets inside.
Hey, how'd that happen?
I don't know. It's a fail.
Oh, no.
The Amish might have done it, so now I'm an umbrella guy.
I am anti-umbrella. Be an adult, deal with it, and just get to your mode of transportation quickly, and then get inside where you're going quickly.
Yeah, I was very anti-umbrella for almost the entirety of my adult life until girl dad life, till I had our kid. God forbid, my poor little princess can't get wet out here, okay? Like, we're not going to have that. So we have umbrellas everywhere. Every car's got at least one umbrella. You know, we just can't do that. But but if it's just me, I've got, like, a North Face rain shell that I got at the outlet mall that I adore. So, that's fine. I wore it today. I just put the hood up and soldier on.
If it's raining, I don't go outside.
Okay.
Guys, I gotta work at home today.
Rain. Oh, it's just too much rain.
Yeah, no, it's,
I can't get in.
No, from garage to garage. It's not a problem. Yeah, sorry. Sorry for having a garage.
So you're saying you could fit your car in your garage now?
I can fit one of them in there.
You know what? Marta must have done a good job cleaning out the garage.
Oof.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. It's true.
From Word the Third on Twitch.
Word the Third, where you been?
What's the coolest piece of memorabilia you own?
Signed Michael Jordan jersey. It's probably my favorite. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Danny should have went last on that one. It's hard to top that one.
It's yeah, got it in person too. Yeah, but that one's pretty great. I've got others I can give you if you want, but
that speaks turn.
I don't really, you know, it's funny. I don't really have one that makes sense. I don't think. I mean, I have a little Gatorade towel that I stole out of the Cubs dugout after they won the World Series in 2016. Stole that.
The shirt that I wore to the blackout game that Toby Hall sprayed champagne on, I never washed. So that's somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I do own it.
Really limping to the finish line here. I got a marsh peg from the Hawk Stanley Cup.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'm just kidding, everyone.
Wait a minute.
I don't have that, but I have seen it. Frank Thomas autographed jersey. It's the centerpiece of my basement, which is why Pi Oh My could not go down there.
Yeah, it should have been the co-headliners.
The marsh peg. I got to get my marsh peg back from Matt Abaticola. Be a good reason to hook up with Matty and have a beverage. Say hello.
I don't know if he would return it.
No, he would. We've talked about it.
He said he would return it, but he hasn't returned it?
Yeah, it was just because we haven't had a chance to get together. Okay. So,
all right. Thank you to Jed Hoyer and Tracy McGrady, who were on the show today. Both worth listening to. Tracy McGrady, slightly more forthcoming. Thank you to Ray Diaz and Connor O'Donnell. Great work, as always. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day and got a ton of love from Tracy McGrady. Cubs baseball coming up. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.